John Murphy, Donald Jones, coming to you live from our One Buffalo studio inside the AdPro Sports Training Center. And joined, as we always are, Fridays at 2 o'clock by Lorenzo Alexander, Bills veteran linebacker with the lowdown. Hello, Lorenzo. How are you? Thank you for coming in today.
Hey, you're welcome, Nas. I'm glad to be here again, and I'm feeling good.
Yeah.
Ready to go.
I bet you're feeling good about the way the Kansas City game went last week and the role that you had to play in that game. A little bit different for you last week against the Chiefs.
Different, I guess, if you put it in terms of this year,
yeah.
What I've been asked to do. But definitely within my skill set, and had a lot of fun out there on third downs, rushing the passer, dropping into some coverage, spying Alex Smith. And then I also with the, you know, obviously my snaps being cut down on defense, was able to get back on the special teams punt return unit and had fun doing that. And we had some big punt returns by Brandon Tate last week.
You know, a lot less snaps on defense and special teams. Well, you had, obviously you play on special teams, but a lot less on defense. Do you feel like that's a good formula for you moving forward throughout the rest of the season?
No, I mean, it always comes down to game plan and how we want to attack teams. And last week we felt like we needed to be more in a nickel set. And, you know, with the way Ramon and Matt Milano have been playing, those guys are going to rotate in at the wheel. So there's no need for me to be out there. And so insert me on third downs where I'm going to excel at, be able to rush the passer, whether I'm at tackle, kind of roaming around, or playing end. And I think that's just the best way to do it. You know, you want to put your best players out there to execute, and within what we do, those guys are better. So I'm fine with that. I just want to win a game. So mm-hmm. I was able to do that.
How much do you think your different role and the different looks that you presented for Alex Smith contributed to maybe some of their struggles offensively? I mean, was he confused?
Did you notice that? Well, I think we did a great job as a unit disguising last week. And then anytime you add another guy that drops back to take away maybe some of the underneath routes, it gives Preston a little bit more range to get deeper. It makes him pat the ball because he sees an extra body. Because a couple of times, a couple of crossers, just looking at his eyes, he wanted to check it down, but he really couldn't because I was in those windows. And then it gave time for Jerry, Shaq, or Kyle to get him flushed out the pocket, and was able to chase him down a couple of times, get some hits on him. Or he was running and trying to get the first down, was able to get him down before he was able to convert on the third down. So, I mean, it worked out for us.
Simple question is, do it again, right? Why not do it again this week?
Well, it's a different quarterback.
I know.
A whole different skill set, a whole different ability.
Want to take away those underneath routes. Which
yeah, you want to take them away. But, at this point, you're not going to ever really confuse Tom Brady. Our mindset, or what I think, you know, we need to do is just play good, sound football. You want to make Tom Brady be Tom Brady and have to put balls in tight windows and make him be a little bit more athletic, things that he's shown he's able to do over the years as far as moving in the pocket. You want him to have to play a great game. Because let's just be honest. Some players in this league are going to get theirs, and you want them to have to play at a high level. And you do that by executing your assignment, your scheme, playing tight coverage, having great fundamentals, not doing stupid penalties. And that's the ultimate way you beat Tom.
You know, we keep talking about this, and we've been talking about it all week, how he moves in the pocket. Like, this dude, he's slow as molasses, dirt,
right.
But this dude can really move around in the pocket.
Yeah, I was having this conversation with a reporter. He was like, is Tom Brady athletic? I'm like, no, but he's a great athletic quarterback within his skill set as far as what he needs to do be great in that pocket. He moves well, has great footwork, and gets rid of the ball quickly. And so within his skill set of what he's been able to do, he's very athletic. So that's what we have to do, be able to corral him, get him down. And throughout the years, when you see Tom struggle is when he gets hit. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's the Houston game last year, you think about those Super Bowl games versus the Giants. When he gets tattooed, he gets rattled a little bit. And that's like most quarterbacks, more so with him. That's the really only formula I've ever seen really just work on when he gets out of rhythm with the receivers, mm-hmm. when you're able to take advantage of the offensive lineman and get some hits on him.
He's athletic a little bit, obviously, but how much of it is awareness, vision, pocket awareness? You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's a skill set. It's something that he's worked on. Obviously, he's drilled it and played for, I don't know what year this is for Tom. What,
18.
16? Oh, 18. So he has mastered the pocket passer skill set you need mm-hmm. to have. You know, be able to feel pressure, knowing where it's coming from, knowing what his protection is and who's going to be free. And he does a great job of shuffling with his footwork, staying – having great base, so when he does set his feet, he can release the ball very quickly and get it out of his hands.
You know, everybody has different theories on how to get to him. For me, it's really bringing pressure up the middle, up, you know, right in his mm-hmm. face. In your opinion, as you watch him over the years, what's the best, you know, the best way to get to him. And get
yeah, I mean, that's when you see it. I mean, because it's hard for him to kind of get out of the way of that. You know, if a guy is coming from the outside, he can step up and then step to the side. Mm-hmm. But when it's coming right in his face, I mean, there's really nowhere to go, and he can't get out the way.
Yeah.
So that's when he's normally taking those big shots that you've seen over the years.
He took shots last week against Miami, right? They got him 8 or 9 times, I guess. They hit him.
Yeah, they hit him. I mean, but he's good. I mean, he's still good.
Yeah.
That's just going to give you a chance to, you know, have an opportunity. Maybe he throws you one or you get a strip sack. But any, you know, what also we've seen is that you can get to him, you can strip the ball, or he may even throw it to you, but you have to capitalize. Often teams, for whatever reason, they miss those opportunities, and then he goes down and scores a touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, that's kind of part of, you know, playing fundamental sound and taking advantage of those opportunities. Because when he gives it to you, you better get it, or he's going to get you the next couple of plays. He's going to be looking, kicking yourself in the butt like, I wish you could have, should have.
You know, I've been saying on air that you need to, you know, try and disguise different coverages and all of that stuff to try and confuse them. Like you said, you can't really confuse them.
Right.
But they change tempos to their offense a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Can you see that on film?
Yeah, they do. And he does a great job with the tempo. You know, watching him, you know, as a defensive lineman, when you want to get off the ball, you know, you can go off the count sometimes, the voice inflection or head bobs. But, I mean, they even change that up. I mean, they have like a head bob, and then it's like a silent count. So you mm-hmm. really can never get a true beat. I mean, he snaps the ball at 15 seconds. 8 seconds, 2 seconds. So disguising is even sometimes hard because, okay, they went fast and, oh, you're out of position and they hit you deep. Yeah. Oh, let me show it early because they snapping at 15. Now they hold it. Now he knows what you're in. So he does a great job of playing that cat and mouse game. And that's just from years of being in the league and being able to orchestrate all that. Because a lot of young quarterbacks can't handle all that other little, the game within the game as a veteran quarterback like Tom Brady can.
This is a question not necessarily about Brady, but in general, playing defense, how much attention do you spend to cadence and snap count and kind of what the voice inflection will be? And where do you get that from?
Well, you watch the TV copy these days.
Mm-hmm. I mean, in the meeting room?
Well, they're showing in the meeting room. We have a segment every week called the KGB, which obviously refers to like the Russian spies back in the day, and that's what we call it. These are all the little details that you can kind of get to help you maybe steal a play or get a great get off or, you know, whatever it may be. They may have a check, you know, Mickey Mouse may be a screen or something, mm-hmm. and you can hear that on the TV copy. And some teams never change, and it's always the same, and you can end up stealing a play or, you know, getting a tackle for loss as a player. So we listen to that just to see, and some guys can handle it, some guys can't. So if you can handle it, you take it into the game with you, and when you hear it, okay, oh, I'm about to jump this, and then you get an interception or whatever it may be.
It was always funny because I was there, you know, and so I knew that when they go with, like, different animals, you know, an animal with an R in it, they were running the ball to the right.
Right.
And with an L, they were going to the left. So I'd be sitting at home with a couple of my boys, and he'll say something like, Jaguar, Jaguar. And I'm like, oh, this is a run play to the right.
Yeah.
And they're like, you don't know what you're talking about. And then he ran it to the right every single time. You know? And I'm like, I keep trying to tell y'all, it's not rocket science.
Make some money that way.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same thing with protections. I mean, it's L and R words. I mean, if you understand the concept of football, you pick it up over time.
Lorenzo Alexander with us, the lowdown as he kind of breaks down this matchup. And let's get into it. You mentioned a moment ago how if you get chances for turnovers, for instance, you got to capitalize against this Patriots team. That's your first lowdown.
Yeah, and it's respect for the football. And I mean, it's really on both sides for offense and defense. You know, when Tom gives us the opportunity where we get a strip sack or he throws the ball, we got to catch it. We got to turn it over and give our offense another possession. And as a offense, we got to hold on to the ball. We can't give Tom Brady extra possessions in this game and give him additional field position because we're always going to be playing behind. So it's really twofold, offense and defensively. And this is really the DNA of our football team, respect for the football each and every week. But it's even more important this week, and really all three of these things are, just because how well coached this football team has been historically and still is today.
The margin is small.
It's small. You can't make mistakes against them because they capitalize every single time.
As a defense against this team or any high-powered offense, do you look for your offense to stay on the field, to convert third downs?
That's huge each and every week, right? I mean, be able to stay ahead of the chains, be able to move the ball, convert on third downs like we did last week. And I can always tell how well we're doing this because, you know, alert punt, oh, I get to go sit back down. And last week we did a great job of that. So if we can continue to do that, move the ball, keeps time off the field, allows our defense to stay fresh, tire the defense out, you know, drive the ball, obviously put up points. We'll take field goals, but we'd rather have touchdowns.
Yeah.
But that's just the way you want to play. And you got to be able to do this all four quarters. It's not just a one-quarter thing or one-drive thing. It's consistently throughout the game.
The Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. Number two, you want to talk about big plays and limiting big plays on your
part? On our side, limiting big plays. They strive on that. You know, obviously going down the field to Cook as well as Gronk, running those vertical routes. They always seem to find them, whether it's guys busting or not executing well, and that's something that we can't do. They're already good enough. They're capable of driving down. Let's not give them free yards by having miscommunication on the back end. So that's really key for us this week, limiting the big plays. And, well, you know, why can't we create our own offensively with Shady and in our passing game? Tyrod creates a big play, some explosion plays to create that momentum for us and really put them in a bind.
You know, as you talk about Brandon Cooks, they haven't really had – a receiver like him, as dynamic as him, since they had Randy Moss.
You know?
So from last year to this year, do you see that big difference in the offense on film and how often they use him?
Yeah, I mean, he can take the top off the defense. And like you said, they really haven't had anybody like that. But they've always been explosive. I mean, they figure out whatever their personnel does great, they figure it out and then get explosive plays out of those guys. I mean, what Martell has been the last year, obviously he's on IR now, and Gronk, they've always figured out ways to get open and explosion plays running down the seams. And Gronk is not that fast, but he's always open for big plays. I'm like, man, why is this dude always with separation and open? But, you know.
How does that happen?
Just Gronk being Gronk and having really a great quarterback throwing the ball to him.
Really
I mean, a lot of times it's, you know, they go to empty sets, spread you out, and run China seam. Which really means the number one receivers maybe run maybe 7 to 10 yard hitches and sit down. Gronk and whoever the other receiver are running seams. It could be Brandon Cooks running seams down the middle of the field, and you put your middle field safety in a bind. You know, depending on who's covering them, it could be a mismatch. And then they'll sit Amendola over the middle, and he's running an option route on your Mike linebacker in and out.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they just try to find the mismatches and create that. And, you know, some guys will sit down, and they hit the seam right behind, running away from the outside help right before the safety.
Yep.
Gronk could catch it, run the safety over, and it's a touchdown. I mean, so they just do a great job of game planning and sticking to what they do. And then with Tom Brady back there, you know, he'll look off to the left, move that safety, and then, whoop, come right back to Gronk. And he has the confidence that they know where they're going to be at.
Yeah.
And then with the snap count we're talking about, he'll get you to jump, and then he's taking a shot again, and he doesn't care at that point. So, I mean, he does a great job. And, you know, that's why I say you have to be fundamentally sound, locked in, tight coverage, and make him have to throw those balls in tight windows.
We had Mark Kelso, my radio partner, on earlier today, and he's saying the same thing you said. He said, if you have a weakness defensively, they will find it, right?
Oh, they're going to find it. Yeah. I mean, they'll look at over, you know, and they'll game plan, and or they'll run a couple of plays, and up top they say, well, they're not really adjusting to this well, and they'll come back and hit you. Or if they get you, they're going to keep hitting you and hitting you and hitting you until you figure out how to stop it. So,
how many times did you go against the Patriots before you came to Buffalo last year? Very often? I'm trying to think.
I think I've played them twice, because most of my career was in the NFC.
Right.
So, I want – Once for sure. I remember that. That was that was a Randy Moss year, and they torched us up. Yeah, I was with the Redskins.
Okay.
Yeah. That was nasty. That was ugly.
You know, another thing that people really sleep on. The Patriots are so good at getting the ball at the end of half, and they'll score a touchdown or at least get a field goal and double up coming out of halftime.
Yep,
they'll get the ball again and score again.
Brilliant.
You know, has Coach talked about that?
No, he hasn't talked about that with the Patriots themselves, but he has talked about that just as a team trying to win games. That's a great way to be able to do it. If you can go down, score in 2 minutes, and then get the ball back, those teams that are able to do that tend to win, you know, it says like 90% of the games. You know, he's all about teaching us how to win situational football and taking advantage of that. So he's mentioned that in the context of us, but not them.
I came across this stat, which I kind of found interesting. So the last five halves of football the Patriots have played, encompassing three wins, first half, second half, they've scored a touchdown on the opening possession in the last five times, which means if you're starting the game, or as you say, starting the second half, all of a sudden you're playing catch up. I mean, that's if you can just get it seems a takeaway or even force a punt,
right?
At least you get your
footing. And they haven't really punted at all. I mean, you know,
looking
at it, you know, I was telling Danny I'm probably going to have the same role defensively. I want to be on punt return. He was like, so man, they really've only punted like three times per game, and then most of those punts are like plus 50 punts. But that means they've crossed over into our territory, and that, you know, we're not going to really get any return game out of it. So that alone just shows you how effective and efficient their offense has been. And defensively, we have to have, you know, get some three and outs early in the game, get them off their rhythm, and create some field position for ourselves.
What about their running backs? They, I mean, they use a bunch of different running backs.
Right.
You know, how dangerous are those guys and involved in their offense?
I mean, they're good. I mean, and they use them, you know, all in different parts of the game, you know, whether it's White early on, you know, in the middle of the field, Deion Lewis down by the red zone, the screen game. You know, they utilize those guys very well and motion them out and empty. So, I mean, they put them all over the place. So those are guys, and it's, you know, even kind of going back to last year when we played them, they utilized them well. And that screen game, that's really where they kind of sneak and get some extra yards out. And they're not really a huge screen team, but when they do it, they've been very effective.
With Lorenzo Alexander for the lowdown as he goes through some of his keys for this game on Sunday. And the last thing you want to talk about is avoiding negative plays, in particular penalties. That would be huge, right?
That's huge. I mean, again, it goes back to playing good, sound football. We can't have issues where we stop them on third down and there was a holding, so it's an automatic first, or a rough in the passer because you've been you know, frustrated because you haven't gotten the time, and this time you're right there. Let me throw an extra 15-yarder. Now he's going to go down and score. You know, we're giving up points. And the same thing offensively. We can't play behind the sticks. We can't start, you know, drives or series, you know, first and 15 or first and 20. And as well on special teams, we can't have a big drive. I think we had a decent return last week, but we had a holding, so that pushed us back. All those things add up to field position, add up to opportunities for Tom Brady to put up points. And with a well-coached football team like they are, you can't put yourselves in those situations. You can't beat yourself. Because they're too good of a team already.
I just say it's 20 after 2 on Friday. I'm tired of talking about how great the Patriots are. We've been talking about this all week.
Well, they are. I mean, historically, they are. I mean, you got to give credit where credit is due. I mean, you want to say sorry. I mean, you have to talk how good they are. You know, they are good.
The crazy thing is we all know how good they are. So as a player out there in the field, you know, how do you approach it as another game?
I mean, they're good, but, I mean, I'm – against my matchup. I mean, we, you know, when we talk about how good they are, it's mainly Belichick and Tom Brady. And they don't play all, you know, 11 spots on defense and special teams. They have some weak spots, some places that you can take advantage of. And in those situations, you know, whether it's defensive line, we have to rise up and beat them there. Special teams find ways to exploit them there. I think, yeah, we talk so much about Tom Brady. We think that's the whole team is our Hall of Famers. But they're well-coached, good teams, and you have to be fundamentally sound and take advantage when you can. As a player, it's not like I'm going in this game, oh, well, it's the Patriots. Mm-hmm. I mean, I you've been in the locker room. We don't think like that. They're good. I respect them, but I don't fear them. Right. I'm going to go in there and attack them and play fast. When you start getting into all that, you know, us the Patriots, Tom Brady, and playing tentative, I mean, that's when you really get blown out. So you just got to go out there and play your game.
Glad to hear you say that. Hey, this is going on Sunday, too. You and several teammates and all over the league. It's the My Cause, My Cleats initiative, a way for players like yourself to sort of shine the spotlight on your favorite charities. You're involved in that this weekend, right?
Yeah, I have the opportunity to wear cleats that are representing my foundation, the Lorenzo Alexander Aces Foundation. Have been blessed to, you know, to have this platform and resources to be able to give back to my communities, you know, whether it's in my hometown of Oakland where I grew up or the cities I've played in. Obviously, I serve here in Buffalo, but also when I was in Arizona, Washington, D.C., and, you know, those different places over the course of my career. So it's been great to be able to give back and serve the community because I'm not where I'm at today. I'm not on the John Murphy Show hanging out with you and Donald. Because of me. You know, I've had a lot of people help me throughout my career to get me to this platform, and it's only right of me to be able to give back. So that's what I try to do through the ACES Foundation.
Tell us about ACES Foundation. We've talked about it before, but what
do you mean? You know, it really stands for Accountability, Community, Education, and Sports. And where I grew up in the inner city, that was really the only way you were going to be able to make it out and go to college because most parents couldn't afford to send you to, and I went to Cal, couldn't afford to send you there. Or any four-year institution. And through my academics and my athletic ability, I was able to earn a scholarship, go get a degree, and now, you know, obviously I was lucky enough to play football, but I was planning on becoming a lawyer then. And then when you're able to create that type of success, living and then go back to your communities, living in Oakland and being that example and be able to give back. And that's where that community aspect comes for. It's not just for me or for that child. Once they become successful, I'm teaching them or I want them to be able to go back into their communities and change the circumstances. And you're accountable for your actions and who you are and what you do and with the gifts you've been given and trying to incorporate all that into young men and young women.
You know, your full-time residency is in Virginia.
Right? Yes.
Would you ever move back to California, back to that Oakland area?
Maybe when the kids are out of school and done and out of the house. I mean, it's so expensive to live in California.
Yeah.
So
you gotta get a little house.
Yeah, a little old, you know. Go back to where I grew up at. I mean, it's just cause then you got to send the. Yeah, it's a whole you know private school. So. Eventually I would like to maybe one day be able to go back. But right now, you know, wherever my wife and kids are, that's home for me and I'll serve in that community, and help, families and kids as best I can in those areas.
Donald, I met Lorenzo's, your mother and your aunt, I think, right?
Yeah, in LA.
And his aunt said, I said, he's such a good broadcaster. And his aunt said, that's because of me. I taught him all
that. Yeah. She takes credit for everything.
That's how they do.
Cause she's younger. She used to live with us growing up and she was the one that used to beat me up and drag me all over. She takes credit for all the toughness in my mindset now.
And we were talking about your brother. Your brother's season is over now.
Yeah. So he's back home now in California, and he is kind of going on the recruiting tour right now. I think Maryland was at his house the other day, had something set up with Purdue. And there's been some other schools that have offered him as well. So just kind of waiting on that and trying to figure that situation out as well.
How hard is it with all of this craziness going on in the college football landscape for him? You know, you got coaches getting fired, leaving places. Does he think about any of that stuff?
The schools that he's dealing with, I think, are all pretty much settled on who their head coach and stuff is. Mm-hmm. he is crazy, though. I mean, he took a picture with, I think, the guy from Maryland the other day. And had a University of Miami shirt on or a sweatshirt on. I'm like, man, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? So he's creating the craziness, you know.
Hey, Lorenzo, thanks. Good luck on Sunday. We'll see you next week. We appreciate it.
Yeah, appreciate you guys.